An accident, Ragnar said. He saw movement, thought you were a deer and loosed. It happens. He looked at the arrow we had retrieved, but it had no marks of ownership. It was just a goose-fledged shaft of hornbeam, tipped with an iron head. An accident, he decreed. Later that winter, we moved back to Jofurik and spent days repairing the boats. I learned to split oak trunks with wedge and mallet, cleaving out the long pale planks that patched the rotted hulls. Spring brought more ships, more men, and with them was Halfdan, youngest brother of Ivar and Ubba. He came ashore roaring with energy, a tall man with a big beard and scowling eyes. He embraced Ragnar, thumped me on the shoulder, punched Rorik in the head, swore he would kill every Christian in England, then went to see his brothers. The three of them planned the new war, which they promised would strip East Anglia of its treasures, and as the days warmed, we readied for it. Half the army would march by land, while the other half, which included Ragnar's men, would go by sea, and so I anticipated my first proper voyage. But before we left, Kjartan came to see Ragnar, and trailing him was his son Sven, his missing eye a red hole in his angry face. Kjartan knelt to Ragnar and bowed his head. I would come with you, Lord, he said. Kjartan had made a mistake by letting Sven follow him, for Ragnar, usually so generous, gave the boy a sour look. I call him a boy, but in truth Sven was almost a man now, and promised to be a big one, broad in the chest, tall and strong. You would come with me? Ragnar echoed flatly. I beg you, Lord, Kjartan said, and it must have taken a great effort to say those words, for Kjartan was a proud man. But in Jofurik he had found no plunder, earned no arm rings, and made no reputation for himself. My ships are full, Ragnar said coldly and turned away. I saw the look of hatred on Kjartan's face. Why doesn't he sail with someone else? I asked Raven.
Because everyone knows he offended Ragnar. So to give him a place at the oars is to risk my son's dislike. Raven shrugged. Kjartan should go back to Denmark. If a man loses his lord's trust, then he has lost everything.
But Kjartan and his one-eyed son stayed in Jofurik instead of going back to Denmark. And we sailed, first flowing with the current back down the Ouse and so into the Humber, where we spent the night. Next morning, we took the shields off the ship's sides, then waited till the tide lifted their hulls and we could row eastward into the first great seas. I had been offshore at Bebbanburg, going with fishermen to cast nets about the Farne Islands. But this was a different sensation. The wind viper rode those waves like a bird, instead of thrashing through like a swimmer. We rowed out of the river, then took advantage of a northwest wind to hoist the great sail, and the oars were fiddled out of their holes. The holes were covered with wooden plugs, and the great sweep stored inboard as the sail cracked, bellied, trapped the wind and drove us southward. There were 89 ships altogether, a fleet of dragon-headed killers, and they raced one another, calling insults whenever they travelled faster than some other boat. Ragnar leaned on the steering oar, his hair flying in the wind and a smile as broad as the ocean on his face. Seal-hide ropes creaked. The boat seemed to leap up the seas, seethe through their tops, and slide in flying spray down their faces. I was frightened at first, for the wind viper bent to that wind, almost dropping her leeward side beneath the great green sea. But then I saw no fear on the other men's faces, and I learned to enjoy the wild ride, whooping with delight when the bow smashed into a heavy sea, and the green water flew like an arrow shower down the deck.